This is the Branches Podcast. We try to keep it simple in this family of faith. Love God and love people. Let's not make it harder than Jesus intended. If you'd like to know more about our community of faith, you can visit us at www.branchesoc.com.
So a few years ago, I had someone who was part of our church community. They'd recently come, they'd been here for a little while, and they were frustrated because, as they said, they didn't feel that they were getting discipled from the teaching up front on Sundays. Now, if you hear something like that, it could be easy to take it personal. But I knew that it wasn't my job to disciple someone from up at a microphone. That's not the way it works. The most impacting thing we can do to become like Christ, to know Him, to know what He's done, what He can do, His nature, and especially His beauty, is in His Word. And for some reason, we don't want to get into His Word. We want to try to find other shortcuts, or we want someone to give us that transformation. That's not the way it works. And most people choose not to be intentional in listening or reading or participating, bathing, marinating in the voice of God. And it's not like it's been hidden. He makes it accessible to all of us, but there are obstacles. And so what we're going to do the next couple weeks at Branches is we're going to look at how to study the Bible, to give some encouragement, some hope, some tools. But ultimately, it has to come from this desire that God places in us to draw us closer to Him. And when we want to get closer to Him, there's no better way to do that than through His voice. Now, I'm warning you, when you do this, it's transformational. It will have an impact. I like the way that Hebrews describes the Word of God or the voice of God. The writer says that the Word of God is like a double-edged sword, and it can separate bone from bone and muscle from tissue, and it's powerful. I've experienced that in my own life, but I like the way that someone else described it. They said, it is a double-edged sword, but you have to imagine that it has no handle. Because as soon as you begin to handle the Word of God, that double-edged sword with no handle, it's going to cut you. And that's what we want. We want God's Word to impact us. Jesus Himself, when He was talking about food, He said, I don't live on bread alone. And so Satan is tempting Him with food. And He says, I live, I survive my existence, I live on the Word of God, on the voice of God that comes from the mouth of God. That's how we exist. That's how we survive. That's how we thrive. And because of that, it would make all the sense in the world for us to be in His Word, right? And yet we have to be honest, and we have to say, I'm not always drawn. In fact, I'm very infrequently tempted to get into the Word of God. I don't want us to go through the reasons why. Instead, I want us to look at the how, the hope. How do we go through the door into His presence? So the first thing that we have to do is to make a plan, to be intentional about it, to make a decision that we will live not on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's a pretty big decision, because there's so many distractions, there's so much fear, there's so much of a sense of inadequacy that we we don't want to get into his word. So how do we do that? What's the first step? It's a decision. It's a decision to say, I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it. I was talking to my son recently, and we were talking about budgeting, and he says often, I don't know how to do that, about many things. And I tell him, figure it out. For example, that video game that you used to play, you would go to YouTube videos, you would call friends, you would figure it out because it was important to you. So learning how to study the Word of God is not difficult. It's that desire and that hunger that will then cause you to go find ways, maybe through this video, or probably, hopefully, by being in the presence of others that are studying the Word and watching them and being taught, being an apprentice of them. But it starts with that decision. It starts with the decision that I'm going to do this. And so the first thing to do is to understand translations. And that's actually encouraging, because there are so many different translations of the Bible out there. And there's a reason for that. It's because every culture has a different way of saying things. And without getting too bogged down in it, we have many translations over decades and even centuries, but there's certain ones that we're drawn to that help us to hear, that help us to understand. For example, for me, I'll give you the shortcut version. For me, my preference is the New International Version. And that is one in which it's a balance between a literal translation and a paraphrase translation, meaning it's put into modern terms, but it's the same words, just put sentence grammatically in a way that we can understand. And I also like to go to a couple other versions, the New American Standard, which is literal. I have a few tools that help me in my basic Greek understanding so that I can look at it in the original Greek language when I'm looking at the New Testament. And I have some other tools that are online that are free that you could access that help you to understand the words. And when you put these different translations next to each other, including two others of my favorites, the Message and the New Living Translation, and I'll throw in another one, the Amplified Bible, then you have all of these different ways that someone said something. And so it's like you have this meal prepared before you, and yet you get to really kind of taste the different flavors in it because you're taking your time and you're seeing how other people are describing it. It's beautiful. It creates this bit of excitement because you're like, Lord, are you trying to tell me something through this, through that? How are you communicating? I want to listen. And you can better listen with different translations. And so I say you should experiment. You should look out there and you should see the options. Another thing is if you're going to be intentional about it and it's going to be consistent, there are two things that help. One, to have a place and a time and a location where you're going to sit down with the Word. Some people prefer the mornings because it sets up their day and helps them to think in that direction, almost like a compass. And there are others that prefer to do it at night because it's when it's the quietest. Because for them, the morning is hectic and the evening isn't so much. Or some listen to it. They'll listen to it through Audible, or they'll listen through one of the many apps where you can listen to God's Word in all those different translations while they're driving or while they're walking or while they're cleaning their house. And so there's so many options, but none of those options work unless you have a consistent time to participate in those options. The other thing I would say is that it's always more helpful to go with it through others. So for example, in a typical worship context at a church, whether they meet on a Sunday morning or a Saturday night or a Sunday night, that community, you're going through it together. And even better is if you participate outside of that. Guys' groups that meet in the morning or in the evening, or women's groups that meet in the morning or the evening, when they are wrestling with this double-edged sword together. there's fruit that comes from that. There's this beauty that comes out of that. And you're more able to see and to hear. And since we have limited time on this video, we'll get much more in depth this Sunday. But since we do have the limited time, I want to finish with this. Because as we look at God's word, it's very easy to say, but I don't experience it like I used to. For example, this past year, I was with friends and we were in Minneapolis, Minnesota for a football game. And we went to a restaurant. My friend's a Vikings fan. I'm a Charger fan. So he goes there all the time. He has season tickets. And he knew of this restaurant. So we went to the restaurant and they had squid ink pasta. And I'd never had it. I've seen it on all the Food Network shows. And the idea of it sounded pretty gross, but I thought I should try this. I am not exaggerating in the least when I say that when I took that first bite, it was transformational. I don't know how to say it. I literally dropped my head back and people were concerned. They thought, is he okay? Is he having a heart attack? What's going on here? But I hadn't tasted something like that before. And yet, I've had meals throughout my life. There's very few I remember. So if that's the case, if I don't remember them all, why eat? I did the math. It's 60,000 meals I probably had up to this point in my life. There's only a handful I can remember. So what's the point? Jesus said, I do not live on bread alone, but I live on every word that comes from the mouth of God. I needed those meals to survive. Not all of them are going to be that impacting or that memorable, but they're life-giving. And it's the same with God's word. And for that reason, we need to learn how to study the Bible. We need to learn how to enjoy it more, how to appreciate it more, how to get the most from it. There's tricks. And I have more I wish I could share with you right now. But to honor your time, I won't, and you can come on Sunday and we'll get deeper into some other tools that will help you in how to study the Bible. God bless.